right, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
And welcome back, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. Glad to be talking to you guys. Hope you enjoy what's coming. We got a lot of things to catch up on.
Absolutely. The biggest thing on my list is the simple fact that Baldur's Gate 3 / Larian Studios won Game of the Year, as we predicted / wanted.
No, absolutely. And it was extremely, extremely warranted. I honestly keep forgetting who else was on that list, but none of them, in my opinion, came close. The majority of them were sequels. And I think the most refreshing one was Alan Wake 2, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and Spider-Man 2 were more of the same, which does not stop them from being good or even great games. I just don't think they warranted Game of the Year.
Right. Yeah, it's it was an interesting list, to say the least. As you said, every single thing was a sequel, prequel, or something part of a series, including Baldur's Gate 3. On this list. So it's very curious that that's all that was put on there. I'm honestly surprised that Harry Potter didn't make the cut. It was a fantastic game. We joked about it last time that it came out way too early, that people probably forgot about it by the time these awards rolled around, but it did come out in 2023 and it was a fantastic game.
No, it absolutely was, from what I played anyway. And I honestly think a lot of that was due to public opinion, unfortunately. If I'm not mistaken,
who else needs to make that decision?
Well, the initial list, I believe, is made by a panel over the Game Awards for the nominations. And then the official winners, I believe, comes from votes from the consumers.
Sure. I'm just saying that it is a game that should have been represented somewhere, but they didn't make any list. They weren't nominated for a single thing, which I found very strange.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely strange, because even for just being a good game, you know, if you would have just taken the Harry Potter element out of it, it would have been a good game. So I don't. And I feel like that's the mark of a great game, where if you can take the franchise out of it and it still runs well, you have a decent product on your hands.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, but one of the best games to have come out in a very long time was represented. I want to say Baldur's Gate 3 won 6 different categories, Game of the Year being, you know, the highest title that you can get from these awards, taken away by Baldur's Gate 3. So Larian Studios definitely did a good job. I don't know if you saw the memes that came out from the awards, but apparently this year they went with this system, like a countdown clock thing, a projector, so people are on stage would have a countdown for how long their speeches could be, because of the Kratos from last year.
Right.
Like 10 or 15 minutes. So this time they gave people like 3 minutes or something ridiculously short because of that.
Yeah, which kind of ruined a couple of them. But Christopher Judge actually made a joke about that. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
He said when he went up, right, he was like a guest presenter for one of the awards. And he came out and said, oh, you know, they put a timer or something because my speech was long last year. It was even longer than the current Call of Duty campaign.
Bruh, jokes. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was funny to see. we do have to talk about the day before. Do you remember that game?
Negative.
So it had a really fantastic trailer a couple years ago, and as development got closer, had a couple of delays, people are almost convinced that the entire thing is a scam.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's about to be eliminated completely. So the game hasn't been out for like a month, and just the product looked like it was a solo dev's first time at making a game.
Oh, that's what that game. Yeah. I saw people complaining about something that came out, and yeah. I wasn't tracking this game at all, but I do remember seeing people heated about something that released by a well-known publisher, and it was hot garbage.
Yeah. So, you know, at one point, the day before was the most wishlisted game on Steam.
Wow.
Yeah, because of how of the popularity that it gained. But man, this Fall from Grace has been something. So, right, it's gotten terrible reviews across the board from critics and players. It just is like a shell of an extraction shooter. Nothing like what the developer Fantastic had promised. 4 days after the game was released, the studio announced that it was shutting its doors, with the developer, you know, supposedly claiming that it lacked the funds to continue. A few hours later, the game itself was pulled from Steam. The servers are shutting down soon, if they haven't already. Oh, no, they're at the end of January. They're shutting down the servers officially. And get this, it's so bad that Steam is giving everyone a refund. No questions asked.
That's wild. And if I remember right, the founder of that studio literally said that we severely underestimated how hard it was to make video games.
But here's the thing. They've put out like 6 or 7 games.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand.
this is a statement that he made with this whole thing, saying that video games are a lot harder to make than, you know, his team reckoned for. And that's why the product was the way it was, or something ridiculous. You know, it was bad because games are hard to make. That was his statement.
It's even worse. In a tweet, they said something along the lines like that. And then they ended the tweet with "shit happens." Legit.
Wow.
They said blah, 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 blah. Shit happens. On their official, you know, Twitter.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. Crazy. But yeah, that's insane to see, you know, especially considering in a year where there has been a total of almost like 10,000 layoffs across the gaming industry from various publishers and developers, where people still have the nerve to put out a product like this.
Yeah. I mean, it stands with the people were assuming that this is probably a scam from the beginning. You know, it was just one of those things pitched to investors and marketed just to pull in as much cash as possible. This probably was the plan from the beginning. And if so, that's terrible. Gaming industry is not an NFT. We should not be having schemes applied to this.
Yeah, it was interesting that seeing the investor actually, I think, initiated everything with Steam to get the refunds out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a journey for sure. But that's where we are with that. In a bit of bad news, it's going to be a couple of these, actually. We'll start with the Grand Theft Auto 6 hacker from a couple of months ago. That was a wild story. So just to kind of touch on it real quick, the teenager who, you know, was found to be at fault for that particular leak was given an indefinite sentence in a hospital. And they're citing because of his intent to return to cybercrime as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more than that. So I was reading more articles about it. I kind of feel for the kid because it turns out that this kid is autistic and it just has this natural gift with computers. Like, just knows the ins and outs of anything with ones and zeros, and is just Rain Man status gifted when it comes to this stuff. His while he was being detained, all right, the cops took him to some random hotel, put him in a room, and had cops in front of it, you know. But for some reason failed to take his phone away and was able, without access to Wi-Fi, able to use his phone and the Amazon Fire Stick that the hotel TV was connected to regain entry to the GTA 6 servers to continue exfilling more files that, you know, he didn't get to or whatever, and just put out more stuff saying, here's more stuff that I didn't grab the last time.
So I did not know about the mental health portion, which somehow makes this even more impressive. I knew about the Fire Stick, but this is insane.
That's why he's not getting a full trial. He's going straight to like a mental hospital. Health clinic. Yeah, because of that. He's just severely autistic, and it just happens that he just knows the ins and outs of anything cyber and is just incredibly gifted and is just able to basically penetrate through and just knows coding and all this stuff to just do what he has to do in the cyber world. And it's just, it's more fascinating than anything. But yeah, he's just going straight to a clinic just because like this, he can't help himself. It's essentially what they were saying. The people that were trying to arrest him, like this kid can't help himself. Like if you put something with Wi-Fi or internet in his hands, he will hack something.
That is insane. Like this is honestly more impressive. Like I feel like Rockstar should be footing the bill for all of this and just hire him.
Just hire him as the head cybersecurity, right? Or something.
Might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I was reading more about it. It's just wild. I mean, and it sucks, right? He just has those impulses and he just acts on them. He just has this thought, like, I wonder if I can get into Rockstar's servers. And then went for it and then did it, right? And it's no easy feat, especially a company like Rockstar. They know how important and sensitive these projects are, and to keep them as hidden for as long as possible, right? So that way, if something is going awry, the public doesn't catch wind of it. That'll affect how investors sees that company, right? They're not going to want to invest in a company that's constantly being compromised because there's a chance they're going to lose millions of dollars. So they don't want that kind of publicity out there. So they spend millions to keep their data safe, and to just have some teenager on a whim just go in there twice, once after getting caught, it's just wild, insane. And just the simple fact that he did it off of Amazon Fire Stick and a cell phone, it's just insane. But to keep it on the topic of hacks, Insomniac Games failed apparently to pay $2 million in ransom to some group that apparently captured a shit ton of data and asked for money, as ransomwares usually do. And Insomniac Games said no, and the data hit the internet like 2 days later.
Yeah, it has absolutely been a rough couple of weeks for Insomniac. So this comes after the release of the sequel to Marvel Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2. They very quickly shifted towards, you know, getting their next project, Marvel's Wolverine, yep, you know, ready to have something for the public. However, with that cyber tech, they released like that data and an incredible roadmap, I believe extending a decade, if I'm not mistaken, to 2033. They were able to essentially get an alpha build for Marvel's Wolverine that, you know, there's been videos, synopsis, screenshots all over. People have been trying to get a build for a PC build for Spider-Man 2 running up as well. So Insomniac Games and Sony have been kind of put through the ringer here. The official statement, the official statement from Insomniac is as follows. Thank you for the outpouring of compassion and unwavering support. It's deeply appreciated. We're both saddened and angered about the recent criminal cyber attack on our studio and the emotional toll it's taken on our dev team. We have focused inwardly for the last several days to support each other. We are aware that the stolen data includes personal information belonging to our employees, former employees, and independent contractors. It also includes early development details about Marvel's Wolverine for PlayStation 5. We continue working quickly to determine what data was impacted. This experience has been extremely distressing for us. We want everyone to enjoy the games we develop as intended and as our players deserve. However, like Logan, Insomniac is resilient. Marvel's Wolverine continues as planned. The game is in early production and will no doubt greatly evolve throughout development, as do all our plans. While we appreciate everyone's enthusiasm, we will share official information about Marvel's Wolverine when the time is right. On behalf of everyone at Insomniac, thank you for your ongoing support during this challenging time. And that was on December 22nd. It's rough. I honestly expected them to just cancel the project outright.
I think it's slotted to make too much money.
That's probably what it was. And it did look like it's going to play very similar to their God of War game, kind of like that third person over the shoulder look, which isn't bad. As long as it's, you know, rated mature, I think they can really do something about it.
Yeah, it looked solid. And what's kind of interesting, an interesting kind of topic that, you know, sprung from all these cyber attacks that are going on in the gaming industry is the fact that it's sad that nowadays this is how we get the most information about games down the pipeline. You know, people don't feel as bad for these companies about these hacks because they're keeping secrets that the public would have loved to know. So it's one of those things that people, there are people out there saying that, you know, while the hack sucks for the company, it's kind of cool for us to know that these projects are even happening. Apparently that was the case for, I want to say, Street Fighter VI a while back, that no one knew was happening until they got hacked and revealed that they were even working on it. And a list of other games that, you know, this has happened to, but it's just, it's an interesting topic.
It's actually really funny that you mentioned that, because Rockstar had another incident happen recently as well. So the Grand Theft Auto 5 source code was apparently sold for like $2,000 after it was hacked. Yeah.
I'm just shocked that that's all it was sold for.
So yeah, it was, there's like a whole bunch of drama with it. Honestly, I kind of stopped reading like halfway, so I don't really have a full picture. But ultimately, there was a lot more information about Grand Theft Auto that was leaked. Specifically, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, where there were 8 planned single player DLCs that were canceled in favor of Grand Theft Auto Online.
Interesting.
Yep. One of the ones that struck me was, looks like there was going to be something that was going to have Franklin, Trevor, and Michael have a good amount of time over at Liberty City.
Hmm.
That's the one that kind of struck me the most. And that kind of sucks, because thinking about how grindy Grand Theft Auto Online became, I'm sure it was scrapped because they probably ran some numbers and knew that it wasn't going to generate the amount of money that Grand Theft Auto Online was generating for them. You know, ultimately, corporation wants to make a profit. But yeah, that there was like, I want to say it was about 8 DLCs that were scrapped entirely in favor of, again, Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a corporate decision. I can't fault Rockstar too much for choosing one route versus the other. I just don't really understand why they didn't do both. Rockstar Online, like you say, was grindy, but it was fun. There was a lot of fun to be had. And, you know, every now and then sprinkle a story mode DLC. Why not appease both sides of your fan base? You know what I mean? I don't understand why one side was chosen versus the other. Maybe it's just cost too much to do that versus just have a system that people were just steadily paying into. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, you have one thing where it costs, you know, they lose money essentially to put that out. They may not make as much back in sales versus online, where people were just pouring in, you know, transferring cash for fake cash, Rockstar right. bucks or whatever it's called.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I honestly think they could have, like, they're not a small developer. I definitely think they had the resources for it.
I think it would have been cool. I mean, but again, I can't fault a business at the same time for making a decision. If they made a decision based on data saying that it would cost us this much versus, you know, to go this route versus this other route, that's cool. But it's also kind of weird that they held on to the projects after all this time too, which I also find very strange. Maybe it's just practice that you keep your projects stored away in case you need a part of it for something else later. I don't know. But I also find that a bit strange that all 8 projects were just there for the picking, even though they were never used. They were fully created, or maybe. I don't know how far they got into it, but
I think it was very, very early on. I don't think it was anything
so it's probably fleshed out. Just brainstorm plots and all this good stuff.
Probably. Well, I don't know if
it's not as bad.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of sucks because there was so much more that could have been done. You know, that potential was there, and I feel like that's just all gone. Did we speak about some tech that EA patented a couple weeks ago?
I know we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on podcast.
Gotcha. So essentially, EA submitted a patent, probably some sort of AI, where you'll be able to record your voice, and your voice will be, you know, for the protagonist speaking the lines.
That's interesting. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how that works. The start of the game, you set your mic up and it tells you to read these sentences. I'm pretty sure there's like 4 or 5 sentences that you can say that'll capture basically each way to form almost every word based on those 5 sentences or whatever. Like, is that right? Is that the route? Or, I mean, and it's strange to do that for a gaming company to do, because now that data is stored with EA, your right. voice. I mean,
that's the fear there.
But I mean, we can't really say anything. Our voices are out on the internet for years now. But yeah. I'm just saying, it's I don't know. It's just strange, because I mean, that's just a weird thing to ask for. It's just up there with Apple asking for all this medical waivers and all this information, and all with their last iOS saying, we care about your health. Tell us everything you're taking medically. They just decided that that's what they were going to include for cell phone, for checking your emails and texting people. They now need to know your medical history. Same avenue.
Yeah, and I think the biggest fear is that it is a real slippery slope. You know, with that data, you know, how many voices are they going to combine to create the next protagonist for the next game? You know, yeah. Where they won't even have to hire a voice actor anymore. They'll have all the data from, you know, the last RPG or whatever.
Oh, I think I misunderstood. I thought each person, each game would have, like, if I played the game, it would be my voice. And then when you played your game, it would be your voice, not a mix.
No, you are absolutely correct. But if they're storing and saving
they can use it for other things.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Because 100% in the terms of service, it's going to say we have the right to use the voice that you give us any way that we choose.
Oh, 1,000%, especially EA.
Yeah, 100%. Are you kidding me? There was a game recently that did that they used AI voices to do the, like, when you walk past NPCs, just random people on the side, and they just have random quips as you walk by. There was, I forgot what game it was that recently did that, and people were like, that's terrible, you know, over here taking jobs from people to do these one or two simple lines. And they would get away with the fact that they can do an entire game with zero voice acting, just purely AI. 100%. It's going to happen. There's going to be a game eventually, and it's going to be marketed super well. Like, oh, look at this cool thing that we did. This entire game is created by AI. The world is, the story is, and the voice acting, and every little thing was designed by AI, you know, and it's, depending on how it's marketed, might get praised. If it holds well in the spotlight, but we'll see. It's going to happen. We've said it before. AI is just a tool, and it's just gonna depend on how we use it. But EA trying to slime their way, creating a game where people volunteer their voices to then later use down the road. You heard it here first. That's probably what's gonna happen.
Yeah, there was someone in the gaming industry recently who basically said the same thing, that AI as a whole is not the issue. It's the people who use it and plan to use it potentially maliciously.
Yeah.
Another company that's doing something similar is actually Sony. They actually just put in a patent that will probably remove traditional difficulty options, or, you know, omit them entirely.
Yeah.
So they submitted a patent that's going to adjust game difficulty in real time, depending on how well you're doing. It's not a new concept. There's actually a game that was notorious for this. I think on the PlayStation 2, I think it was called God's Hand, where if you were doing too well, the AI would actually scale up and just kick your ass.
Yeah,
and
I don't think the whole concept is new. I mean, I'm patenting it because no one else did it is probably why Sony's doing it now.
And it could be new tech. You know, maybe it's not necessarily in the AI. Maybe it's something, it's going to scale your character differently. Who knows how they're going to handle it.
Or maybe it changes the, if it's something that can change the entire story based on how you're playing, that'd be interesting too. And not just, you know, the bad guy takes more bullets, you know, because it has a higher HP all of a sudden, because you die too little times, things like that. Right. That sounds garbage. But if it actually impacts the story, maybe the factions see you differently as you do well. Because we haven't actually seen anything like that, if you think about it. And all these super faction-based games, like, you know, anything Bethesda's ever touched, and I'm sure there's many out there, Cyberpunk or whatever, factions don't really react to your performance, right? They only react to your actions, right? And what choices you make. But if you take out an enemy base in like 10 seconds, that should be recognized. That I think that's a cool concept, if that's the route that they're going. I would find something like that actually interesting.
The closest thing that I can think of is actually Metal Gear 5. It's a stealth game, so I want to say you did not play it.
I played it. I never finished it.
So like, if you were getting like a lot of like headshots on people, as you not necessarily like progress, but like they get like better armor, better equipment, in like the same general area.
Yeah.
If you come back on another mission. So like, if they know you like to do headshots, they'll start wearing helmets, you know?
That's pretty cool.
So that's the closest thing that I can think of where they like fortify themselves based on how you approach a particular base or whatever.
Yeah, no, I like that. It's really cool. It's the same concept with, you remember the game Hello Neighbor?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, same thing. You know, you break into the house of the neighbor, I guess, and the neighbor itself is AI. And what you do in that house, you know, if you keep breaking in the same way, eventually they're going to fortify that window or whatever you're using, and you have to find another way in. So you kind of have to this cat and mouse thing where you set yourself up for success by tearing down something in another place so that if you get caught, you can break in that way. So it's that concept. Like I'm saying, that concept's been out there for a while. So it's very curious what Sony's actually patenting here. Is it, like you said, maybe they invented some new AI tech thing but what are they enhancing? What are they changing? If it's not an overall story based like change, something that, like I said, affects your relationship with other factions or your relationships with core elements of the game other than choices, but like how you play your game, I don't know. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, so from what I got from Insider Gaming, they were showcasing this new difficulty setting feature. And the patent that was submitted is about making adjustments to the gameplay on the fly. So there doesn't seem that there's like a real setting to select with it. It's just as you progress through the game, that data is going to be stored based on how you're playing. And I think it's going to be, I don't know how they're going to do difficulty. Like, one of the things that I have an issue with, like you mentioned, is that when you select a higher difficulty, there's no real change other than the enemy has more health and higher defense. So it just takes longer
and to chip them down. That makes it more difficult. But it's really doing is just makes it more sluggish. It just makes, that's all you're doing. It doesn't make the tactics harder. You still have to hide behind cover or roll around or do whatever it is to dodge the damage more times than the normal of the game. It's if they did what Baldur's Gate 3 did with honor mode, and actually if you play honor mode and the bosses now have additional actions or items or weapons or tactics up their sleeve in that mode only, that truly makes it a more difficult version of the game, and not just simply that they have more hit points, they're also smarter than before.
And that's one of the main issues that I've always had with higher difficulties, that it's always just making them bullet sponges or what have you. Like, it's never them having new attacks. What was a popular thing? I think in World of Warcraft, right? If you like going from like a regular dungeon queue raid to actually doing the mythic raid, finding the dungeon location, like a lot of those bosses have like new attacks. You have new patterns to learn and things along those lines. So that's something that's always bothered me, where the AI or the NPC is just not smarter. It's not doing anything different.
Yeah. And while they do both, they not only set you up with more tactics and more things to dodge, they also give the boss like 1,000 times more health than the mode before. So they took both routes when enhancing difficulty in raids, which I find kind of comical. But yeah, it's the same thing. It'd be curious if this gets implemented, you know, other than the PlayStation. Like, what if World of Warcraft implemented a system like this based on your gear level? People obviously take advantage and set up raids with low gear, but the rewards will also be pretty low, so it wouldn't be beneficial, I wouldn't think. So I don't know. I'd be curious to see if this technology played and how it gets used. I can see it used easily in like a Spider-Man game, God of War, any story-based game. This makes perfect sense to do. No more settings. You just play the game. And if you're doing great, you know, the enemies are going to respond accordingly. But I'm just saying that I wish that we could see it go beyond just higher hit points and more damage. Actually make it affect the story. Just bring it up that you took out an entire cavern of whatever in less than 10 minutes, or that you literally just blew them up and instead of going in there guns blazing, you just set up stealthily, went in there, set up a couple of bombs and blew them all up, and just let that come up later on in the story. And some boss of some factions like, I heard you did it this way and I respect it for that, like, you know, something like that.
I'm right there with you. Kind of moving on a bit, some news actually that kind of bothered me. I enjoy Obsidian, the developer. I think they've done, you know, great work in the past, and it turns out they went and made a pitch to Bethesda to make some games, right? So as far as working with Bethesda, their most known project is Fallout New Vegas. You ever play that one?
Yes, but not into its completion. I played it before I got into Fallout 4. So it did. I looked at it and I'm like, this is very old. I don't want to play this. Now I'd probably play it, but unfortunately, I first learned it when I was not into the franchise.
Yeah, that's cool. But essentially, it was kind of like an in-between game between the major franchises 3 and 4, right? Oh, yep. So it was like, it's canon, sure. But it wasn't made by Bethesda. So it was made by Obsidian. So they actually reached out to Bethesda again, and they wanted to do something similar, but with the Elder Scrolls franchise. So we have Skyrim, which is Elder Scrolls 5, and they're working on Elder Scrolls 6. So they essentially reached out to Bethesda to kind of make an in-between game as we wait for Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and they said no.
Of course they did. Damn it, Microsoft.
Yeah, so, before that. It was before the acquisition and everything. But yeah, it's definitely, Fallout New Vegas is considered like a lesser title, but it's one of the most revered. Like, people cannot get enough of New Vegas. So it kind of sucks that happened. You know, the, what's his face? Chris, I'm going to butcher this, Chris Avalon, who's a former Obsidian head. He asked, you know, about making spinoff games for Bethesda for both Fallout and Elder Scrolls. And said, yeah, you know, he did pitch it. And it was, the intent was to serve the same function as Fallout New Vegas did between Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, just to provide additional adventures within that setting, between the years of the next Bethesda release. You know, like Bethesda would do a major release and then they'll do something in between, you know, to kind of tide people over. But yeah, this just didn't. He said that he didn't think Bethesda was impressed by Fallout New Vegas, even though it got so much critical acclaim.
Yeah, and maybe the critical acclaim is what forced Bethesda's hand. Maybe they're tired of asking people in surveys, what's your favorite Fallout? And it's not the games that they made. You know, no, seriously, think about it. If you're head director or head writer or head anything, and every single time, you know, you go to an outing and you say, oh, yeah, I work on the Fallout games. Someone's like, oh, I love Fallout. Fallout New Vegas was the best one. And you're like, you son of a bitch, that wasn't us.
Yeah, like, no, I get it.
I'm sure that's happened, right? And it to the point where now they're like, we're not going to give the opportunity to one up us, which comes at the cost of us, the consumers, to not get good content. But I really feel like it's ego. I 100% feel like it's ego.
I would not doubt that at all, like in any way, shape, or form.
That's funny, though. I have an interesting bit of news. So apparently, over in China, They drafted up a law. It's not in effect yet. It's been drafted and is going through whatever their legal process is before a law is made, which I didn't realize they had one. I thought some guy just chooses it and made it so. But apparently there's a system. And they're saying that they want to reduce how much money is spent in developing games out of China.
That is very interesting. I heard something else from China, but continue.
So it's basically that they're basically, it's drafted, but essentially what's going to happen is they're going to come out, apparently this is supposed to do is all the major players in gaming industry, think Tencent, right? That's really the only Chinese gaming industry that comes to mind, but Tencent, and there's others, they're just saying that they're going to force them to that they can't spend over this amount of whatever once this goes into effect. And that's what their max spending limit is on video games, period, just for that industry. And I couldn't really figure out why they were doing this. It's just that they were.
So I didn't hear that. That's interesting because I feel like I don't know how that's going to work in the long run or even the short run. What I heard was that China's gaming regulator, I forgot what they're called, but there was a proposal that was drafted to curb excessive spending on online gaming. So the guidelines were essentially saying that for online games, they are not allowed to offer incentives for things like daily logins or purchases.
Yeah, that was part of it too, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, how can, limiting how much users can, like, you know, recharge, like, you know, gems or something, like, out of pocket.
Yeah, to remove, like, the gambling aspect, the random part of it for those types of games. Yeah, this is also part of that. And again, what I was talking about was also, it's probably the same thing. It's just drafted. And now it's going to go through the process of whatever it is to make it into law, if it makes it that far. Apparently, there's a new hearing to go over this January 22nd of 2024. So we'll see if anything comes out of it, if it's still a concern. But apparently, Tencent did take a massive hit in stocks when this news came out. Yeah, apparently, I think they went down like 16%. Yep. It dropped 16% when this news came out, which is insane. And I mean, for a company as large as Tencent, we've said it before, Tencent has their hands in everything. Mm-hmm. For them to lose 16%, that's no small chunk of change.
How about this? Their closest rival, NetEase, dropped 25%.
Right. Yeah.
And Tencent at least recovered some, but NetEase, I don't think they recovered.
Gotcha. Wild. It's just wild. Again, not sure why they're doing this. It's not very clear. I thought China was on board with gaming. They seem to be on board with all of it. Like Tencent was investing in everything gaming. So it made it seem that video games was the future. Like this is worth putting your money into because it's going to grow. It's going to come back to you and good returns on investment. And then China comes out and does this. This is wild. So, but again, this is the preliminary steps of putting this into action, into law, or however it is that it operates. Again, I don't understand their governments to word it correctly, but this is apparently the beginning steps to that. And it may fizzle out. It may not come to be anything. But who knows? The fact that it was even pitched means that, you know, they're thinking about it. But we'll see what happens at the next hearing.
Yeah. It's crazy. I don't think we got a chance to talk, but we also did get the official Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer. Hope you guys have been enjoying that. That's absolutely going to be a day one for me. Oh, I cannot wait. My main concerns, which I know a lot of people have, is it's slated for a 2025 release date, but it was only referencing Xbox and PlayStation. And there's no word of a PC release on the trailer. And I honestly think they're going to go the same route they went with Grand Theft Auto 5, where we had to wait a year before
PC.
Right. Not exactly excited about that because Grand Theft Auto can absolutely be a couch game. But I just, like, I want to experience the visuals. You know, I don't want to be locked on the console. But we'll see, you know, what happens with that. I noticed you were playing Starfield earlier. Are you enjoying that?
Big brother's watching. It's, I don't know.
It's a Bethesda game, man. I mean, I don't...
It is, but it just feels like a step back from Fallout 4, which is not what I was expecting. At the very least, at the same level of Fallout 4. I understand that this is the first entry to this new series. I'm sure it'll continue on. I can't imagine that they'll do a one-off, although they've done it before with that other Western cowboy game.
Which one was that? What the hell? Western
cowboy. Yeah, there's like a weird Western. I got to look it up. I don't remember off the top. I'm pretty sure it's Bethesda. If it's not Bethesda, they stole everything to make it look and feel like Bethesda. But that's the only thing that I can think of that doesn't have a running series. But it's interesting. I like that it's a space-themed game. That's really the only thing that keeps me playing it. It's vast, even though like planet exploration is limited. But that doesn't throw me off. I kind of appreciate it being limited because there's just too much to focus on, and I'm already into it where it's like, hey, welcome, you're a part of all these factions now, and I'm like, oh, cool. So Bethesda kept that part of the formula the same, so it's just the same thing. You join all these factions, you do these jobs, and you learn more about these factions and what they stand for, and as you advance in one group, piss off the other, and then if you try to rectify that, you piss off another group. It's same thing, same song and dance. But I mean, it's all right. It's new. It's space themed, and honestly, I'm just looking at this and thinking, what can we steal for Beyond and Good and Evil 2 that'll make it? But I honestly enjoy the takeoff and landing. Just it's easy. You don't have to really navigate from the ground up. It's pretty nice. I feel like Beyond Good and Evil 2. Wasn't thinking about going that scenario, but it would be nice to have it easy. Docking onto massive ships, right? You lock onto it and you say dock onto this, and then you just latch onto it and explore the ship. I think that's awesome. That's a really cool thing we've never experienced. I mean, we played Elite Dangerous, and you just enter a station. And just recently, you could explore it a little bit, but there's not much else to it. But in this, you can actually interact with other NPCs and, you know, sell goods and pick up jobs and advance the story, which I think it's awesome. So there's elements that I like, but just the way the game is, just the way it runs, just doesn't feel complete. I feel like they left so much on the table that they did not apply. They did not give it the same amount of love as they did Fallout 4. It's very apparent.
And it's crazy because if you hear them talk about how long it was in development for, it's like, what were you developing?
Right, yeah. it's weird. Luckily, the bugs have been straightened out. I haven't run into anything. I know there was a lot of issues, but it's just every NPC I talk to, they all look like soulless robots. Like, I don't know why they programmed the engine to look like that, but they all look like that robot AI that exists in the real world. I think they called it Sarah, where you can talk to it. They just put a rubber face on it and you can talk to it. And it's,
oh, I know exactly what you mean. Mass Effect Andromeda had something similar. The reason I brought it up actually is, you know, since you were playing it now, I don't know how deep in it you are, but there was a post that an official Bethesda post they put out a couple of days ago, like a little over a week ago, where they put out like some game stats. But in that particular post, they actually shed some light on some updates that Starfield is going to be getting in 2024. So expect an official story expansion. And starting in February, the game's going to really get updates roughly around every 6 weeks is their initial plan. We should plan to throw in new features. You know, they mentioned like new ways of traveling, official mod support, and some city maps. They're not really elaborating fully more than that. Just as, you know, additional changes with additional gameplay options. So they're probably also going to add like new survival mechanics or something like that. Maybe, you know, limited oxygen or, you know, hunger and things like that. Just more survival aspects is my guess. Optional. It's definitely going to be optional, but I'm sure it's coming.
I'm getting my ass kicked by walking too fast right now.
Bro.
What do you mean? Because it's so easy to encumber yourself. You pick up.
Yes, that is a really big deal.
10 things and it's like, oh, well, now you can't breathe. And I'm like, bro, come on. It's not, it's just.
But that thing doesn't kill you. I don't know if you knew that.
It does.
Like when the bar goes red.
Yes. Your health bar starts depleting.
I feel like I've never noticed that. But I've never died.
Must be nice. I mean, I've never died either because I get down to like one more tick of health and then I use a health pack to not die. But you very much can. And if you can't and it just leaves you at 1%, I'm going to try it now and see if it actually goes under that last tick. But your health bar definitely depletes.
Well, I guess I've never noticed it.
Maybe you're just that strong, man. Maybe you just have all those.
Well, here we go.
All those stats. And you know what I think is cool? I haven't seen this before. And they did a thing that I wish Baldur's Gate 3 did, and I thought Baldur's Gate 3 was going to do. But in the beginning where you can pick your backgrounds, basically, like what aspects of the world makes you who you are, and you get to pick three things, and it actually impacts, like it unlocks certain quests and certain dialogues. I thought Baldur's Gate 3 was going to do something similar, but they didn't, which, I mean, they put a lot into the game. You can't fault them for missing another thing that would have been nice to have, but it's just something that I thought that Starfield did that would have fit perfectly in Baldur's Gate 3.
You know, so speaking of, the CEO of Larian, I think it was, or maybe the creative director, he actually said that a lot of the people he worked with at Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast are essentially like gone because of, I guess they were hit with like 1,000 people were laid off at Hasbro.
Oh, wow. You mean like people that he started the project with and were gone by the time this came out? Wow. That's did not know. I mean, glad that he saw it through. I mean, clearly he knows how to run a tight ship and get things done over there, even though it took a long time, but they actually put out a complete game, which is sadly unheard of. We haven't had anything like that in about 5-ish years.
That's not true. Harry Potter came out pretty complete.
Yeah, for the most part, I had issues, but I guess not everyone had bugs with Harry Potter. So I guess I distinctly remember the game crashing a lot in the beginning. There was an immediate hot patch.
But now that you mention it, it was Red Dead 2 was 2018. After that, what did I play? Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, those are pretty major games that came out, and those are the only two that I really didn't have like any issues with, because we had
Fallout 4 came out, that was bugged.
Yeah, but that's basically, that's a feature.
That's part of Bethesda's image at this part. Pokemon came out, it was great, but that was bugged to hell.
Pokemon was definitely bugged.
Cyberpunk, I mean, come on, that game was unplayable. Apparently yours with the golden copy, but the rest of the world could not play the game. But apparently now it's playable. I thought about reinstalling it, honestly, after hearing you and talk about it. Yeah.
Man, let me tell you. So there's a lot that they added in this, you know, what they call the 2.0 update, which is how the game definitely should have released. I think they did 2.1 was like the last one. They're like, all right, we're done. But the biggest thing for me was the map. On the map, you can tell what's a campaign mission, what's a side gig, what's a gig from your fixer. Like,
that's cool.
And there's so many more things on the map. They added these kiosks where you can buy the cars now, and you don't have to go to where the car is, or I think it's how you had to do it before. Like, you had to go to a specific spot. Like, now you can just go to one of these hubs, these kiosks, and just purchase the vehicle right there. And there's a lot of them.
That's neat.
They did add a new ending with the DLC. But honestly, the ending that I got, to this day, is the best one. Like, there's only two good endings, in my opinion.
I remember, the ending that I got, terrible. But I rushed through it. I just wanted to get through the game and put it behind.
You were having a rough time?
Yeah. It was bad. I'm telling you, it was really bad. And I mean, I tried and I was hoping that it would get patched to a playable point in the couple days, you know, the first week that it was out, so that I can play it and beat it, but that didn't happen. So I might re-download it, replay it. Because it was enjoyable. There were some bits that were enjoyable for sure, but it does, the enjoyable bits do not outweigh the chaos that was part of that game.
That makes sense.
But yeah, that's been the case for forever. And the whole reason we're even talking about bug games is because Baldur's Gate 3 did it right and won Game of the Year for it. So, and it sucks because so many devs came out and said, that's great for Larian Studios, but we're not going to do that. So suck it up and you'll take what we give you. And
that's insane to me still.
And people are like, I guess you're right. I guess we just have to pay $70, $80 for unfinished games. That's just the world that we live in. Darn. When in reality, if we boycott enough, they will get their act together and put out published finished games.
I can't believe I forgot to mention this. We were talking about Bethesda for so long. There's a fan-made DLC coming out using the Fallout 4 engine. It's nice. Being called Fallout London. And from the chatter that I've seen, it looks fantastic. There's like an awesome video for it and everything. And I've seen so many people that are like, I've literally never played a Bethesda game and I cannot wait to play this Fallout London because of how amazing that it looked. And it is pretty fantastic. Like it looks pretty good, you know, for not really having like official resources, you know. Yeah. It's just modders like playing around. So that's something. I jumped back into Mass Effect 2.
Just two? You beat all three, right?
I did. Yeah, I did. I do very much enjoy one, but you can feel its age as you play. In my opinion. So it's a little rough to kind of start trilogy over from that aspect.
What was your final choice in three? And if anyone complains about spoilers, this game has been out for almost 13 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
So I did go back and do like multiple endings to see all of them, like do the final mission over. But the first one that I got, my first one was Destroy the Reapers. It was red, I want to say.
I don't remember the cover yet. Destroy the Reapers. Interesting.
And then I got that little extra cutscene at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't choose that. I chose the hybrid route.
I think that's the one emerging.
I think so.
That one seemed okay. I just felt dirty.
Because if I remember right, destroying the Reapers meant destroying all robot-like creatures.
Yes.
Period. It wasn't just Reapers, but they were also
ED.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't go that route. I went some hybrid route. I don't remember what color or choice it was, but that was the ending that I got. That's the only ending I've ever played.
Yeah, no, I very much enjoyed that particular ending. I was very vindictive at that point.
Yeah, yeah. The final sequences of Mass Effect 3, definitely, I remember hating it. I don't remember why. I can't picture those sequences, but I remember loathing getting through it just to get to the final scenes of Mass Effect 3.
But look, let me tell you. So I romanced Tali. All right, that was just, I had to. She's just like the only choice.
It's that glass, you know.
Something about that glass jar that she wears. It's just does it for me, man. But
literally dies if you sneeze too loud. But yeah, you know.
But I think it was her and Garrus that were with me. So you know, at some point your companions, they're too injured to go on. So like she's getting on the ship to be taken away to safety, and she looked at Shepard. She's like, come back to me. I was like, I'm coming, baby. I am coming. Whatever you want. And I did the same thing with Pan Am in Cyberpunk. Like that's the only romance I care about. Like I was drooling over Judy, like everyone else was, like initially, from the trailers that she was in. And I met Pan Am in the game, and it's like she's gonna go and, you know, tell the waiter to fix your order if it comes back, you know, like she's gonna be there and support you and make sure that you get your meal correct at the restaurant. And I needed that. And it was fantastic.
There's two types of people. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, Mass Effect 3 did a Mass Effect in general. They did a good job, I think, with the trilogy. Like I said, luckily for you and I, the ending was fixed. I have no idea what the original ending options were, but apparently they were trash and everyone hated it. And they redid it by the time I beat it, and obviously by the time you got. But yeah, good on them. They did a good job. And we're gonna get another game.
We are. So you know, playing Mass Effect Andromeda first, and then playing the trilogy years and years later, I can definitely see why people dislike Andromeda so much. It's a good game. I will stand by this. It is a solid game, and it goes back to what we mentioned earlier. If you take the franchise away from it, it would not get the hate that it did.
Right.
Because overall, it was a fun game. The characters were fun. The story was decent. The highlight for me, however, was the gameplay. It was not as heavy on the cover shooter. Like, you could definitely be up in their faces. Yes. The modding of like the equipment and things like that was done a little different. The combat felt really, really good. And you can really mix and match your style. So like, yeah. I think you were pretty locked in with like Vanguard or Sentinel or Tech in these games. And in Andromeda, you can like mix and match. So like, you could have the cloak with, you know, the heavy charge biotic power. Like, you can do so much more with like your abilities in Andromeda, which is really cool.
That's awesome. I bought Andromeda literally same day it came out. Physical copy, still in the wrapper though. I just can never bring myself, because as much as I wanted to, I didn't want to ruin what Mass Effect was. And I don't know. And it's been so long at this point. it's so much hassle just to find it and dust it off and get it going on the Xbox that I bought it for. But it's just funny. And I think it's a Game Pass game now, or an EA Pass, whatever game included game. So I could technically just download it and play it. I don't know. Maybe I will.
Yeah, we'll see. Looks really good. On a sour note here, this is going to be the last thing that I have, is if you ever played the Max Payne games, the voice actor passed away a couple weeks ago. So that was kind of sad to see. Relatively young. I think it was like in his early 50s or 60s. But yeah, he was 65. So James McCaffrey, you know, Rockstar put out a little something for him. You know, thanks for everything he did. But yeah, I remember Max Payne being pretty revolutionary on the PlayStation 2, where it essentially took the bullet time from the Matrix and implemented it in the game. And it was just so good. So good.
Yeah. Yeah. C'est la vie.
C'est la vie indeed.
Before we sign off, I wanted to bring this up when you brought up GTA 6, because that trailer was phenomenal. But the Joker face guy, did you see that he's suing Rockstar because they used his likeness?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's not going to win because Lindsay Lohan tried to do the same thing for Grand Theft Auto 5, where she's holding like an iPhone 4 or 5 or something. But it's not even her. It's just, you know, it was some blonde chick. But she lost that lawsuit. He's going to lose this one. And it's actually funny because the voice actor for Arthur from Red Dead 2, you know, added on to that. And he was like, my guy, you're not going to get anything from Rockstar. Just capitalize on this notoriety right now. Do your own thing. Make your own money and call it a day. Like, you're not going to win.
And I also saw when this came up, the fact that he's, you know, copying the likeness of the Joker, I guess. And it's just funny that he's complaining that someone's stealing from him for a character he didn't create. But
it's actually funny you mentioned that. We're ping-ponging over here. So I don't know if you ever watch any Dave Chappelle.
Old Dave Chappelle, yeah.
Yeah. So you remember when he dressed up as Prince in one of those Hollywood stories?
Come on. All right. We're almost 40. Of course I know.
Okay. So he did an interview on a talk show host, and apparently, you know, Prince definitely knew that he did that skit, right? So Prince went and released an album, and as the cover art, he used Dave Chappelle as Prince. And he's like, what do you think about that? Dave Chappelle's like, man, what do you want me to do? sue him for making fun of him, for me dressing as him? He's like, you know, he's like, that's the ultimate fucking checkmate, man. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, it's exactly that. that's awesome.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, that's gonna be it. That's gonna be it for me.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that was a lot. We covered a lot. So definitely good catching up with all the stuff, all things gaming. But I'll go ahead and sign us out and thank everyone for listening and hanging out with us yet another week. Let us know what you thought of this episode, any previous episodes, what you'd like for us to talk in any future episodes over at Twitter at @2guys1level. Again, thank you all for hanging out with us, and we will catch you all next time. Until then.